Are you ready for the garment to be set on fire? Stand on your feet to the shout of victory. Sit down here. Finally, are you ready for the garment to be set on fire? Stand up on your feet with a shout of victory. Lift up your two hands. Lift your two hands high. Say after me, say, Father, tonight I have come before you for the destruction of every evil garment on my life, on my body. Give me a visitation, Lord, and let these garments be destroyed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, give him the praise as you take your seat. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Anybody here, the worst thing that can happen to you right now is sleep. The immediate enemy to be conquered is sleep. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For somebody now, it is sleep first. Zechariah chapter 3. The screen is not working. Soon to work. That is why it's good to know where the Bible passages are or to be conversant. Are you there in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1? Our objective tonight, the subject is destroying evil garments. Somebody say destroying evil garments. Say tonight, in my life, every garment of evil shall be destroyed. Our objective number one is to understand garments in the realm of the spirit. Objective number two is to understand the different kinds of garments. Our objective number three is understanding the solution to evil garments. So we want to study, first of all, garments in the realm of the spirit, then the different kinds of garments, especially evil garments in bracket, and then solution to evil garments. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Verse 5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Somebody here tonight, whatever you were wearing before you came here, that is wrong shall be removed, and what is right shall replace it. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. me start by saying that garments are very significant in the lives and destinies of people, both in the physical and spiritual realms. Garments are very significant. And garments represent the following. Number one, garments impart identity. Garments impart identity. You know that a person is a nurse because she was wearing a nurse garment. You know a person is a lawyer or a judge because they were wearing the wig and the gown. You know that a person is a policeman or an army officer because of what they are wearing. Garments impart identity. Number two, garments define authority. The garment you are wearing per time can define your authority. Garments define authority. Whether authority is present or is absent is defined by what we wear. You see the army man, you know this is a man of authority in his uniform. The air force man, the naval man. You saw the police, you saw the immigration, you saw the customs, the prisons officer, the road safety, the civil defense. The VIO by the roadside with his white dress. He waves somebody down, the person has to stop. He's not holding any gun, he's not holding nothing. But he's wearing a garment that says, I am a vehicle inspection officer. Stop. Garments impart authority. And of course, you know that even among soldiers, there are rankings of authority. You see the one with one star and two stars and then three stars. And then the eagle. And then the eagle and one star. Eagle and two stars. And then he has red neck. When you look at them, the authority level differs. Garments define authority. Number three, garments confer opportunity. Garments confer opportunity. There is a way you are dressed that will open your doors. There is a way you are dressed that will also close your doors. Somebody comes out of his office and sees a major general or a lieutenant general fully dressed, sitting outside. No matter who you are, you have to attend to him and find out who he is, what he's doing. Or a judge with his wig and gown, for any reason, pass by you, and he wants your attention, you have to pause. There are opportunities that your garment, what you are wearing, opportunities it will create for you. Either grant you opportunity or deny you opportunity, depending on how you are looking. Garments confer opportunity. Number four, garments reveal prosperity. Even though it's not all the time. Because there are some rich men or rich women who don't want to look rich. But most times, you see very wealthy, influential, aristocratic people. When you see them from head to toe, it shows. It just shows something. Garments reveal prosperity. And the opposite is the case. Number five, garments also reveal adversity. At times, you look at somebody the way they look, the way they are dressed, and you can tell that all is not well with them. Am I communicating? You can tell that all is not well with them. Either by virtue of suffering, what they are wearing on their body, or by virtue of some mental condition. Just look at somebody and you can tell all is not well with this person. Garments reveal adversity. And this is what we're about to deal with tonight. The diverse adversities that garments reveal. This is what we call evil garments. The kinds of garments that people have that show that something is wrong in the realm of the spirit. And what are these different kinds of garments? Let's take the scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse 19. Story of Tamar. after Amnon raped her, she put ashes on her head and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. It was a torn garment. The first category of garment is the garment of shame or reproach. Garments of shame or reproach. In Ezra chapter 9 verse 5 to 6, Ezra spoke about this garment that he was. When Ezra heard about the condition of his people of Israel and how they had offended God. Ezra 9:5 to 6. At evening sacrifice, I arose from up my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, oh my God, I am ashamed. He was wearing a garment of shame. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. What we saw concerning Joshua the high priest now was not something that people could see in the physical. The eyes of Zechariah's spirit was opened to see what was on this man and to see how Satan stood. You don't see Satan with physical eyes. How Satan stood to resist him because of what he was wearing. In the realm of the spirit, people are wearing different things. And what they wear determines what they experience. Am I communicating? So there is the garment of reproach and shame. See, there are so many people whose lives are buried in shame. The devil made sure that situations around them makes life to be shameful and reproachful. Young lady up to the age of marriage, and yet the devil has made life to be shameful and reproachful. Woman in her husband's house for many years, and she tried all her best, but no fruit of the womb is coming. And everybody's mocking and reproaching her. And you see somebody who has graduated for many years now and is just sitting there and everybody is mocking. Garments of shame and reproach. Everyone here tonight that is putting on a garment of shame, a garment of reproach, I stand here by the mantle of God on my life and I say tonight it shall catch fire. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift your hands and say in the name of Jesus. In my life, shame, reproach is rejected. Every garment of shame and reproach around my life, tonight is your end. In the name of Jesus. Catch fire! Anything that will make people ask, where is your God? Tonight it shall be buried. Shame. They used to know you to be a wealthy man, influential person, all of a sudden, garment of shame. Those you used to help are helping you now. Garment of shame. Your juniors all passed you by. Garment of shame. I am anointed with fire tonight. Judge the garment and judge the demons behind the garment. Somebody shout power. I think there are some court sessions where the judge wears red, right? Or black or something. Huh? When they want to pass some sentence, death sentence. This is death sentence for the devil and his agent. It was won on purpose. For tonight. There are times we wear this kind of color on normal, for normal dress. But this one is for judgmental purpose. Any man or woman that says your life must be put to shame by all means, if they will not leave you alone, they are being judged tonight. Any altar of your father's house or of your lineage that is wanting to baptize your life with shame, tonight that altar shall catch fire. Fire! That altar shall catch fire. That altar shall catch fire. That altar shall catch fire. Fire! 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 That altar shall catch fire. That altar shall catch fire. It's catching fire. Somebody said tonight is the judgment of the altar of shame and reproach around my life. The shame your father saw, your mother saw, your other family members are seeing, you will never see them. If you believe that, say the loudest amen. Don't worry, take your seat. We're about to pray. Garment. Garments, please, plural. Garments of shame and reproach. Number two, garments of wretchedness and poverty. There are people the devil put rags on their body in the realm of the spirit and put a plate in their hand for begging. Today is the end of it. That is what the Bible calls moth-eating garments. Moth-eating, moth. Job chapter 13 verse 28. Job chapter 13 verse 28. Job made a reference. He said, and he, as a rotten thing consumed, as a garment that is moth-eaten. When you see moth eating a garment, that is symbolic of poverty. In James, now, in Joshua chapter 9, verse 5, the Gibeonites came to Israel and portrayed practical poverty. They came with old shoes that were uncluttered upon their feet, old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. These were the kind of the practical picture of poverty. And there are people who are like that in the realm of the spirit. In James chapter 5 verse 1 to 3. James chapter 5 verse 1 to 3. The Bible speaking concerning, say, go to now, you rich men. That is rich in the world. He said, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. That is, I am shifting you to poverty. Those kind of rich people that do not know God. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Now, this is practical garment of wretchedness. There are people who even dream and see themselves begging, borrowing, tattered dress in the realm of the spirit. And listen, if the devil put the garment of poverty, wretchedness, and rags on a person in the realm of the spirit, it doesn't matter his educational qualification. In the realm of the physical, the begging continues. There are people who know everybody, know the president, know governor, know everybody, yet suffering continues. Because what is fighting them is not from the physical realm, it's from the spiritual realm. Am I communicating at all? There are people who they can labor. They can write proposal. In fact, themselves, they are proposal. Proposals. Yet, there is nothing coming out because of what is on their body in the realm of the spirit. Everywhere they arrive, poverty, rags, wretchedness. But I am anointed by fire here tonight to say that that garment shall catch fire. Shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and say in the name of Jesus. Every poverty garment, every wretchedness garment on my body, on my life, tonight, catch fire. 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 They said no important person shall come out of your community. I say by the anointing, you will be the first. And as God brings you out, he will use you to bring other people out. One of our members, after making declarations upon him and impacting him in all ways, they lifted him up to become one of the principal officers of the state where he is. He sent me a text message the other day. He said, thank you. He said, the devil never want my father's name to be heard. He said, but God used you. The father was up and went down until his name disappeared. People were dying like fire. And he was committed and remained committed. And God brought him out and took him up. You see, I want to thank you for ensuring that what the devil wanted did not happen. There are people here. It is you that God will use to make your father's name come out. That amen is too paralyzed. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. See, in this end time, the body of Christ will be rich, very wealthy, very loaded. Because the gospel must go everywhere before Christ comes. The gospel must go everywhere. All the nooks and corners and crannies and villages of the earth must be invaded with the gospel. And it requires massive resources. And it shall be. Somebody say amen. Say, I cannot be wretched. I refuse to be wretched. I refuse to be wretched. I heard it. One man testified in our church many, many years ago. He used to walk from somewhere like Suleja, through like Kubwa, pass through like Beggar Junction in Abuja here, all the way to Irrawan Garki for service. He said at times, by the time he reaches Beggar Junction, his trouser has torn in the middle. He trekked, so the trouser gave way. Devil, he rise and messed him up until God changed his story. Tonight is the night for the change of your story. Everything on your body that wants you to be wretched by all means, that wants you to beg by all means, that wants you to borrow by all means, that wants you to look pitiable by all means, tonight it is roasted by fire. Shout the loudest, amen. When it is time to pray, are you going to pray? Take your seat. Garments of shame and reproach. Garments of wretchedness and poverty. Number three is garments of disease and affliction. There are people who are never well. They are never well. Even when they are not physically sick, they are weak. In Job chapter 30 verse 18, said, by the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat. You know, there is hospital cloth. There is theater cloth. At times it is blood-stained and pus-stained and serum-stained, attracting flies. There are people, the devil wore them hospital cloth in the spirit realm. It is catching fire tonight. In Mark chapter 10, when blind Bartimaeus was healed in verse 50, the Bible said, as he ran after Jesus, he cast away his garment. What garment? It was the garment that marked him out as a blind man. Garments. Today, malaria. Tomorrow, typhoid. Tafodo. Some people call it in our place. Next tomorrow, back pain, neck pain. Back is worrying me, neck is worrying. It's a garment of infirmity. There are people the doctor can't diagnose what is wrong. There are those that make the doctor angry. It makes him look like he doesn't know his work. There are people, money arrives only for the servicing of affliction. There are people baptized with expensive disease. That devil is a bastard. Hypertension. They say, when you see ancestral diseases, mother has hypertension, father has diabetes, then child has hypertension, has diabetes, and then ulcer. That's a garment transfer. But I am here tonight. That is why this night is special. Every garment that is making you a sick person, identifying you with the hospital, that has put an incurable disease in your body, that has put an incurable disease in your body, by the same anointing that opened the blind eyes and the deaf ears and made the cancer to disappear, by that same anointing, that garment is set on fire. I said, it is set on fire. Lift up your right hand and say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, every garment of infirmity, every garment of disease, ancestral disease, family disease, tonight is your end. As I'm speaking right now, somebody with an abdominal condition on the right hand side, the devil packaged that in your body, and they don't know what to do with it. Tonight, that garment that has imparted that affliction is set on fire. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Is God speaking to anybody here tonight? It's garments of shame and reproach, garments of wretchedness and poverty, garments of disease and affliction. Number four is garments of sorrow and depression. Set on fire. This is what the Bible calls sackcloth. And for me, I call it sad cloth. Sad, S-A-D cloth. Because it is worn by sad, sorrowful, depressed people. Psalm 69, verse 10 to verse 11. Psalm 69, verse 10. He said, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sad cloth my garment. And I became a proverb unto them. Sad cloth. Genesis chapter 37, verse 34. When Jacob heard that Joseph has been eaten by lions or whatever, he rent his cloth and put on sad cloth. That is the garment of sorrow, the garment of depression, and mourned for his son many days. It's a garment of sorrow. It's a garment of depression. In Job chapter 16, verse 15, all the way to verse 16, we also saw right there, I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. He said, my face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. That is the garment of depression. Psalm 35 and in verse 13 also reveals to us more about this garment. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I was sad. I humbled my soul with fasting. To know the opposite of that garment, look at Psalm 30 verse 11. Psalm 30 verse 11. He said, he has turned for me. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. You put off my sackcloth and guarded me with gladness. So this garment is an impartation of depression. There are people, they cannot point to why they are not happy. It's a garment. This is, why are you not happy? They don't know. There are people that are so bitter that they are almost bitterness themselves. We live in a neighborhood where there was one cantankerous woman. Children say, good morning. See, what is good about the money? Very bitter woman. Happy about nothing. There are people like that. And there are people, the devil insists on making something go wrong all the time, so that they remain in permanent depression. And there are people, it is bereavement upon bereavement. Wake keep becomes a ritual. Wake keep, funeral. That devil is a bastard. But I am here to announce to you by the authority of God, everything they have put on your body for sorrow, for depression, so that you can be crying and weeping, so that you are not happy in life, today it is set on fire. That garment is set on fire. It is set on fire. 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 Premature death in your family is over. Untimely death in your family is over. Disappointment is over. Marital failure is over. Somebody shout over. Everything, everyone here is suffering from depression, manic depressive illness, schizophrenia, any form of mental condition, and they have put that garment in your body to be depressed and to be mental, today it is set on fire. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Look at your neighbor, say, tonight is your night. Say, tonight is your night. Tell another person, say, tonight is your night. Tell a third person, say, tonight is your night. Take your seat. Are you ready to be very violent tonight? Are you ready to be very violent tonight? Life must be enjoyed, not endured. Somebody looked at me tonight. He said, look, I'm sorry, let me break protocol. The way you look, the way you appear, the way you do it, it makes serving God sweet. That's right. That's right. I behave like a small child. If they buy me new, they give me a new shoe now, I might pull the one I'm wearing now and leave it here. And move with the new, and just move from here with the new one. You know how children behave during Christmas? They went to a shoe shop. You buy them things. What they brought, they left it there. Life must be enjoyed, not endured. I told my wife one day, I said, if we don't wear what we have to wear now, we'll leave it for devil to wear after rapture. That car you are parking, you don't want to drive it. Till when? For the devil to inherit it? That money that you have, that you don't want to impact people's lives with it and invest in the kingdom and do the good things that must be done. You will leave it and die and go to heaven and then let the devil to... Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Whatever is making you to endure life, tonight it is over. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, by the power. And the unction of God with which I preach and minister tonight, the garment of sorrow, premature death, frequent burials, is roasted by fire. Take your seat. The next one is close to the last one. It is called the garment of widowhood. The devil puts that garment on people, garments of widowhood. There was a son-in-law of Judah called Tamar. You know how she messed up and all that. But the Bible said in Genesis chapter 38 verse 14 and verse 19 how she put her widow's garments off from her, covered herself with her veil and so on. The most important thing about that is the widow's garments. If you look at verse 19, after she finished what she was doing, she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. For a long time I had wondered, when God told Elijah after the brook dried to go to Zarephath that belonged to Zidon, he said, I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. And the Bible said, as he approached the gate of the city, he saw the widow woman. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 8 to 10. And the word of the Lord came unto him. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. How did he know he was the widow woman? Was he written on her forehead? My conclusion is only two ways. Either she saw her wearing the widowhood dress, or God said, that is the widow woman. Either he saw her wearing the garment of widow, or God said, that is the widow woman, or both of them. He saw her wearing the widow garment, and God said, that is the widow woman. So they were identified. Listen to what I mean. I am not talking about somebody who lost her husband. I am talking about somebody whose husband is still alive, but is wearing the dress in advance. And vice versa, or wife. It's a demon. That is why you see some families where they say people are afraid to marry there. Because the men who marry there die. All the women are widows. Or the women who marry there lose their husbands. I was ministry one day in Area 1 church. And I saw a woman and everything about her was widowhood. Widow. I said, why am I seeing widowhood? You say, yes. The husband is escaping death all the time. He's escaping death all the time. He's in this accident from there. He's just escaping death. Now, in the realm of the spirit, it has been sealed. That was why I saw widowhood. Only waiting for the time. Everyone they have put such a garment on, whether you are a man or a woman, or on your brother or your sister, or your loved ones, I announce by the mantle of God tonight, that garment is set on fire. You will not lose your wife. You will not lose your husband. In the name of Jesus, every garment of widowhood, I command you today, catch fire. Take your seat. We have to rush because time is rushing. And number six, garments of captivity and imprisonment. You know, every prison in the world, even if it's American prison, prisoners have uniform. They have uniform. It's garments of imprisonment. 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 29. The Bible talked about a king, Jehoiakim, that was brought out by evil Merodach, king of Babylon, and changed his prison garments so that he will eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. So you see, there is a garment of imprisonment. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, when Joseph was coming out of prison, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. He changed, there was a prison garment that he couldn't wear to the palace. There are many people who have gone to the palace since, but what is on your body is not qualified to get there. That is why it must be changed tonight. Am I communicating at all? Garments of captivity. Where a person labors like an elephant and harvests like an ant. Antelope. Where a person is sentenced to permanent servitude. Sentenced. That is all his life, is sweat and struggle and slavery. I heard how somebody's driver, I will mention the name of the person, his driver was sent to UK with his family for summer holiday. His driver can go and do holiday in America and UK depending on who he is driving. So it is not what work you are doing that is a problem. If that garment is not on you, even if you are a cook, you look like a millionaire and you have the opportunities. If that garment of captivity is on you, even if you are trained as a medical doctor, you are an aircraft pilot, like Kenneth Copeland was, you will still be in debt. Kenneth Copeland was struggling for survival as an aircraft pilot, trained pilot, until God changed his story. Garments of captivity. Let me say, this one is destiny is servitude. Destiny is imprisonment, bondage, limitation. You are not permitted to cross a particular level by that garment. The way a prisoner cannot come out of the prison and do anything he wants, can't contest election. I don't think they vote. Do they? Or are they voted? I don't know. Those who are currently in the prison, do they have polling boats there? I don't think so. That is rights restricted. That's how it is. Garments of imprisonment. The opportunities of ordinary people you can't have. Because something is on your body. But we are here tonight because that thing is set on fire. Every embargo placed on your life, placed on your family and your destiny, it is lifted. Every prison where the devil had kept you all these years, you are coming out of it today. You are coming out of it today. You are coming out of it today. Shout the loudest, amen. Look at your neighbor by your side and say, I'm coming out today. Take your seat. The Lord showed me before I came here. He said he will take your garment off your body and wear you a new dress. People are living here tonight with new dress. With new dresses. If you are the one, shout the loudest, amen. Garments of captivity and imprisonment. Finally, number 7, garments of filthiness and impurity. That was what was on Joshua. Bible says Joshua was clothed with filthy garments as he stood before the angel. Garments of filthiness. Genesis chapter 35, verse 2. When God encountered Jacob, Jacob said to everyone in his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Change your garments. So there are garments that are garments of filthiness. Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So there are defiled garments. What is this garment all about? Filthiness, uncleanness, permanently dreaming of immoral dreams. Spirit wife, spirit husband. Like Joshua the high priest, by the time this filthiness hangs on you, it resists you. I don't know the number of people who say, if I dream such a dream in the night, any business I'm going for in the day will spoil. Am I communicating? I dream such a dream in the night, a man or a woman, this and that. Such filthiness. Some, it leads them into masturbation, lesbianism, just anything dirty and perverse. Some, irresistible alcoholism. See, how a person can take cigarette, smoke, and pour it into your chest. Pour it. Just take a look at the village kitchen. That is what the man is doing to his system. No practical benefit. Yet there is a garment on it, on him, that say, buy another stick of cigarette. It is like using your money to kill yourself. You pay to get bronchiogenic cancer and pay to get liver cirrhosis. Garments of filthiness. And this is important because there are people that are obsessed. It is an obsessive compulsive action. There is something we call bulimia in medicine, right? Where the person eats under pressure. He just has to keep on eating. He will eat without being hungry. He's addicted. And it's a force. It's like the man who steals kleptomania. The man who just takes a pen and they say, why did you take it? What do you want to do with it? I don't know. Why? I don't know. I met one like that. He said, every time he sees a pen, a voice will tell him, pick it, nobody's watching. He will pick it. And he didn't know why he picked it, and he's not doing anything with it. Anything that puts your life under pressure to do the wrong thing, tonight it is set on fire. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift your right hand, say in the name of Jesus, every filthy garment on my body, on my life, today I command you to catch fire. Fire! Take your seat, let me round off. We shall pray now. Now, I want you to understand. Garments mean covering. We use garment to cover. And garments can be around 5 levels. Number 1, individuals. There can be a garment on an individual. Number 2, families. Where you have a whole family of prostitutes. I know of a family where they have three generation prostitutes. I heard their story. Grandmother, prostitute. Mother, prostitute. Daughter, prostitute. I know of a family where three boys, senior, the one following, and the third, three of them, were killed on the highway as armed robbers at different times. Garment around the family. Then there is community, where a community of alcoholics, a community of drunkards. Somebody was telling me here, one of our sisters here, I think her village or mother's village or something, what they grow there, the way people farm yam, farm cocoa, or farm rice or anything, their own is Indian hemp. Huh? Expanse of land. So children are all smokers. Use it, cook rice, use it, marijuana. Mad people, plenty. That is a whole community. I am saying that so that you can know. You have garment over territories and regions. Coverings. When you have like an epidemic that ravages a land. Blindness, for example, in certain communities. It might be connected to river blindness and some things, but you see, affliction ravage a community. Garments and scriptures made it clear. And of course, you have garment over nations. Garments over nations. I'll read a passage for you. And then we shall begin to draw the curtain. I've mentioned five now. One, individuals. Two, families. Three, communities. Four, regions and territories. And five, nations. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7.
And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering that is cast
over all people, and the veil, that is the cloth that is spread over the nations. Verse 7. Okay. He will swallow up death in victory. That is, that cloth is a cloth of death.
And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off our faces.
That is, that cloth in past years. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. How many of you know that this passage is true concerning Nigeria? We have a garment, a blanket of bloodshed. Blanket of terrorism. Kidnapping. Ritual killing. Religious war. Jihadism. We have that blanket of death. It's a dark covering cast. He said, but he will destroy it. Independence Day for Nigeria is a few days time, 3 days to come or four. Between now and then, something major will happen for Nigeria.
In the realm of the spirit.
Translated physically. And tonight is part of that night. Where everything hanging over the destiny of this nation shall catch fire. That amen is too paralyzed. Stand on your feet with a shout of amen. At this point, I want everybody to join me stand. Come and join me, stand up on your feet. Cause it's none too late, me that should stand. Because it is not only me that should stand. Be upstanding people. Right, listen to this. So that you can travel any road you want any day. that garment will catch fire. So that nobody reproach us and say, where is their God? The same God that makes the blind to see, the lame to walk. One thing I believe with all authority is that the apostolic and the prophetic mantle of God in this country is too much for anybody to divert the destiny of Nigeria. Nigeria shall evangelize the earth. And that agenda is intact. Somebody say intact. What the devil planned for this nation was not planned. He said, is anybody standing? Be on your feet. Hear me. What the devil planned for Nigeria was planned before your father was born. And they found the root of the amalgamation before them plans were on. Before independence plans were on. Of what the devil wants to do with Nigeria. Spiritual wise and religious wise. It was hatched, concocted, and running. As at independence, statements had been made since pertaining to what the enemy wants for this nation. Before most people were born, before amalgamation, my father wasn't born yet. Am I communicating? You know where I'm going. Those things were planned and taught and declared before the church had life in the nation. Before the oil and the anointing ever came. Now the oil is too much. The anointing is too much. My excitement is that what the devil planned, he didn't achieve it until we were born. At your neighbor, say too late for the devil. Say he couldn't achieve it before we came. It is too late now. We are going to pray. And since we have many night vigils lined up, that ancient local song. Too late, too late, too late, too late. So look at them and say, too late for the devil. Tell somebody, the devil couldn't kill me in my mother's womb when I didn't know any Bible. Now I am alive. Too late! Remain standing. Remain standing for a purpose. Carry your Bible and your bag and your pen. What do we do to destroy evil garments? Do that in writing, in standing. Number one, by the discovery of the garment. You should know that there is something on me that is not meant to be there. There is a, by the destroying evil garments. How are is the evil garment destroyed? Number one, by the discovery or the revelation of the garment. We saw it in Joshua the high priest. When you know, okay, it looks like there is an imprisonment here. I am trying to cross a level all these years I couldn't cross. It looks like the devil has tried to put me in a kind of prison. By the discovery of the garment, that discovering that a garment is existing, that must be destroyed. Number two, by the decree of the Most High. Look at what he said in Joshua. All this our reference is from Joshua, Zechariah chapter 3 from verse 1 to 5. He said, take the garment of him,
take the filthy garment off him. And he said, what I say to one, I say to all. If he took it from the high priest, we are priests and we are kings. According to Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, and according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, he has made us kings and priests. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So if he took a wrong garment from the priest in the Old Testament, then no garment can survive on us as New Testament priests. Give the Lord a shout of victory. Number three, by the deployment of the fire, by the deployment of the fire, the garment can be roasted. So you discover there is a garment on your body. Then you make the decree, I am a priest, and the priest is not permitted to wear a wrong garment. And then we deploy the fire. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 51 to verse 52. Concerning the leper, he said, he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, this is the garment of affliction now, either in the warp or the woof or in the skin or in any work that is made of the skin, the plague is threatening leprosy, it is unclean. Now, he shall therefore burn that garment. Somebody say, burn it. Ay, 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 ay. He shall therefore burn that garment. Whether warp or woof, or in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin, wherein the plague is, for it is threatening leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. Somebody scream, fire! Anything that is, I want you to, I don't know whether we'll have enough time for fire service here this morning. Already 3 minutes to 4, but we'll see what we can do. Those going out, except you are going to the restroom, don't do yourself the injustice. You are at the peak of the service. It's not the time to go. By the deployment of the fire. In verse 57, he also declared, and the garment either warp or woof, all right, and if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is spreading plague, thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. Anything that is not of God in your life, the only answer is the fire. Fire. Finally, by demands on the robe of righteousness. Lord, I want to wear the robe. There is a garment that righteousness puts on us. And if we are the righteousness of God in Christ, we cannot be wearing the garment of reproach. Job chapter 29 verse 14, he said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10, Isaiah 61 and in verse 10, he said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments. And as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. On these four levels, you discover that there is a garment. You make the decree of the Lord. I am a priest, and the priest is not permitted. Take that garment. And the angel, it was an angel that took it off. By deploying the fire, and of course, by making demands on the robe of righteousness. I can't wear righteousness and wear wretchedness. I can't wear righteousness and wear reproach. I can't wear righteousness and wear affliction. By that demand, tonight, the garment is gone. I just see in the realm of the spirit now, chains let loose from hands and from feet, and people jumping and screaming. and jumping and leaping. Is there somebody who will do that now? Just shake your leg and your hands and your hands and lift your voice and just jump and just scream and just celebrate right now. There is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. There is liberty. There is